This is how it feels like to have severe ME/CFS. So imagine that you have skipped a few nights because of partying, but you have a hangover. At the same time, you also have the flu and you ran a marathon yesterday, or maybe even two marathons yesterday. But you know what? Maybe that's still the easy part. That's the physical aspect. But what about the psychological and the mental aspect of not knowing what is wrong with you, of being gaslighted, the extreme hopes that you might get when you start a new treatment, or when you finally meet a doctor that understands you. But after that, the disappointment. Again, something that doesn't work. You see your bank account becoming less and less and less. You start worrying about your future. Can I survive? Can I continue living like this? What if things are actually getting worse? What if in a few weeks I can't even get out of my bed anymore? So I took this picture of myself in a period where I actually felt a little bit better and where I left my bed. And instead of being bedridden, I installed a nice garden chair outside and I was lying there almost every day for several hours. It started in winter when I put blankets around me and thermal bottles. And when it was getting hotter, you could see that I had a really good tan, but you also see the suffering in my eyes. And that's also sometimes invisible, because I remember a lot of days where I felt extremely horrible, only to look in the mirror and to see that I actually looked fine. Like, I didn't get it. I had trouble walking. I had trouble memorizing my own name. Everything felt like a struggle. And then for the first time in weeks, I looked in the mirror and, what's going on here? So maybe it was on this day that the neighbor sneaked into the garden and saw me there, this young man, unproductive, a burden to society. And he didn't mind saying all these things and how much of a terrible human being I was for taking advantage of everything and everyone. And the funny thing is that I didn't really care that much at that moment, because I already had spent years lying in bed, not knowing what to do. I already gave up. I accepted that people would probably project their own misery on me, their own unhappiness, their own bad feelings, or that sometimes people treat themselves extremely bad, like their own slave owner, only to fight a negative feeling that they then can project on you or on me when I had a chronic illness. And for him, the solution was very simple. I should just push myself and I should just become a decent human being. Just like that. One day to the next, I could make that decision according to him. But he was not the only one giving bad advice. Everyone did. From really stupid things to, I don't know, really complicated things. But the main thing was that people generally thought 10 seconds about my situation and then made a judgment. They already had an opinion about something that I already thought about for years. So most of the things that people were recommending was complete bullshit, whether it was about changing toothpaste to changing my diet. I did it all. And especially in the beginning of my journey, after watching some horror stories on the internet, I was declining rapidly. A bad day on the beginning of the month would probably already represent a good day by the end of the month. So at the beginning of the month, I could probably still do some groceries. But then by the end of the month, that was no longer possible. And instead, going to the toilet became the same struggle that was going to the supermarket before. And looking at these horror stories and getting the diagnoses of brain damage, Lyme, ME, chronic fatigue syndrome, like, what did it really mean? It just meant for me that I was broken. Even hoping for a blood test to show up that I got AIDS or something like that. But that wasn't the case. Actually, I thought it was, unfortunately. I also read a story about a man who died from AIDS who had ME before. And he said that his final days of having AIDS before dying, when he was literally falling apart, was still easier than his experience of these extreme crashes with chronic fatigue syndrome. So in the beginning, I could still drive my car, but there were some traffic bumps in the road and I just drove over them. I didn't see it. And then I started braking and there were pedestrians. I didn't notice any of them. I noticed I couldn't drive anymore. I started forgetting things, like my name, for example. And then fast forward a few months, I remember people were talking to me, but I was too exhausted to interpret that. Like, I could hear sounds from my own language, the Dutch language, but I couldn't understand a word of it. I knew I was fucked. Then after a few years of not earning any money, even though I had some savings, they were all gone. So I had to apply for social benefits, but I just couldn't do it. I couldn't understand it. The questions, they were so complicated, and any type of information that they wanted from me caused a huge stress. And I became so wired that I really needed help for the most simplest things. And if it wasn't for my parents, I also would have stopped eating because I just couldn't cook anymore. And I remember there was a month where I only ate cans of beans. They were all standing right next to my bed, open, smelly. So I'm really glad that they cooked for me and gave me food every day to make sure that I could survive this period. And before I had chronic fatigue syndrome, I really cared about my looks, about my hair. And that was just totally gone. I was happy enough if I could take a shower. A shower would probably exhaust me, and I had to plan it. Like, one day at the week, I need a shower. And I know that I'm going to have a crash 2 or 3 days after that, that I'm too exhausted to do anything. So eventually I lost my house. I could no longer afford it. And I had to move far away to my father-in-law's house. That also meant to say goodbye to all my friends who actually didn't really show up anymore. And it's not that they were bad people, but they were just continuing their lives. They were getting married. I missed all the parties. They got children. They had divorces. And I wasn't a part of any of it. And we could no longer relate. And sometimes every once in a year, I got a visit from a friend. But I actually was already too exhausted for that. And then I pushed myself through to then have a setback. For me, it's a complete nightmare. And I remember once I got this experimental drug from the doctor. And so I took it. And then my pupil started dilating, like extremely. If I was like completely under stress or something, I had an extreme reaction, but I couldn't get out of that anymore. My eyes became really dry somehow. Somehow that's connected. Of course, you know, there are all kinds of stress symptoms like sleep deprivation, but I couldn't open my eyes anymore. So I was just in bed, and opening them was just too painful. And I think that most of these nights when I tried to sleep, I managed to sleep between 3 and 6 minutes, maybe in 3 goes. So, and in those minutes that I fell asleep, I had a nightmare. But my rhythm was completely destroyed, and starting with my day in the evening, it was all out of whack, like nothing was normal anymore. And then over time, the first Facebook groups came online about dealing with ME, and I started engaging with these groups with the limited time that I could concentrate on screens. And I managed to get a few online friends, but the MECFS community, or the ME community where I was a part of, really didn't like it when I started improving, when I started sharing my progress. So one thing that happened is that there was a public picture of me on Facebook. It was a picture of my family mourning over the death of my grandmother, that they were starting to make really nasty comments on this picture, so that even my grandfather was asking me, like, what's happening? What's going on here? And then I realized that actually I don't have anyone left. Like, even my family doesn't understand me. I couldn't share my suffering with my family because they couldn't bear hearing it. So I just remained quiet, just being there most of my time in bed, on good days in the garden. There was just no one that understood me. Unfortunately, many millions of people have ME, ME-CFS, chronic fatigue syndrome, long COVID, fibromyalgia. I think they're all labels that are just trying to describe a number of different symptoms. And their life is completely destroyed. And And therefore, I'm doing what I can in my life to spread hope and healing, to show people how to switch their symptoms on and off. And I know that not everyone wants to hear this, because you also need recognition for your suffering. I do understand that. Yet at the same time, I am a guy and I like always to think in solutions. And I do think that that healing is possible, especially when you have watched all the recovery stories, plus the hundreds or maybe already thousands of stories of people who had a symptom and implemented the release tools and became symptom free. So for me, that is very important. But to share that, and we have the aspect that you need to be seen and understood in your suffering. And I just want to make clear that I do understand you. I don't bully you. I don't blame you. I don't tell you that your symptoms are not real. I don't tell you that it's your own fault or that you're doing things wrong. So I'm not coming from that place. So if I make you feel that way, then my apologies. That's not my intention. And I just want to spread the message that even though it is horrible and a nightmare, that you can recover, you can heal. And if you wish to know more, then subscribe to the channel. And yeah, see you in the next video. Bye.